Have you ever thought about what it takes to turn a commercial aircraft into a flying isolation ward? I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. That question isn't hypothetical anymore. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, has announced it is arranging a dedicated quarantine flight to bring American passengers home from a cruise ship struck by hantavirus. This is not your standard repatriation. This is a purpose-configured aircraft with infection control protocols that most pilots will never encounter in their careers, and it raises questions about how we move sick people through the national airspace system. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com, here's what you need to know. The CDC is chartering what amounts to an airborne quarantine facility. We're talking about a wide-body aircraft, likely a Boeing 767 or similar, reconfigured with plastic sheeting barriers, negative pressure zones created by the aircraft's own environmental control system, and sealed sections separating symptomatic passengers from those who may have been exposed but aren't showing signs of illness. Medical teams will be on board for the duration of the flight. This is not a new concept. We saw it during COVID repatriations in 2020, but this is the first time the CDC has mobilized this kind of asset specifically for hantavirus, which tells you something about how seriously they're taking this outbreak. For those unfamiliar, hantavirus is not typically spread person to person. It's usually contracted through contact with rodent droppings or urine. But when you have a confirmed case on a cruise ship with thousands of people in close quarters and the exact transmission dynamics on board aren't fully understood yet, the CDC is not taking chances. The decision to charter a dedicated flight rather than put passengers on commercial airlines tells you they want absolute control over the transport chain. Now let's talk about what this means from an aviation operations standpoint. A quarantine flight operates under a very specific set of rules. The aircraft will file an instrument flight plan like any other flight, but the coordination behind the scenes is extensive. The CDC works with the Federal Aviation Administration, Customs and Border Protection, and the receiving airport to ensure the aircraft lands at a designated facility, usually a military installation or a civilian airport with a prearranged quarantine area away from normal terminal operations. Think about what that means for the flight crew. These pilots are volunteers. They're briefed on biohazard protocols. They're wearing personal protective equipment in the cockpit in some cases, or at minimum, the cockpit is sealed from the cabin with additional barriers beyond the standard cockpit door. The environmental control system is configured to maximize fresh air flow and minimize recirculation. On most transport category aircraft, you can adjust the ratio of bleed air to recirculated air. For a quarantine flight, they push that ratio as far toward 100% fresh air as the system allows, which has implications for fuel burn and range planning because the packs are working harder. The headline doesn't tell the whole story on the logistics either. Before this aircraft ever pushes back, it has to be prepared. Seats are removed or covered. Medical equipment is installed. Communication systems between the medical team and the flight deck are tested, and after the flight lands and passengers are offloaded into quarantine facilities, the aircraft goes through a decontamination process that can take days. This isn't a turn-and-burn operation. The charter company is losing that aircraft from revenue service for potentially a week or more. This affects you if you're flying general aviation near the arrival airport. When a quarantine flight is inbound, temporary flight restrictions can be established around the receiving facility. More commonly, you'll see notices to air missions, the NOTAMs, restricting operations at or near the airport during the arrival window. The airspace won't necessarily be closed, but expect ATC to route traffic away from the approach corridor and the ramp area where the aircraft will park. If you're based at or near a military field or a large civilian airport that handles government charter operations, keep an eye on your NOTAMs in the coming days. There's also a broader point here about the role aviation plays in public health emergencies. We tend to think of aircraft as potential vectors for spreading disease, and that's true, but they're also the fastest way to move people under controlled conditions across thousands of miles. The same pressurized tube that can spread a respiratory illness across an ocean can also be configured to contain one if you do it right. The CDC has gotten better at this with each event. The protocols developed during Ebola in 2014, refined during COVID, are now being applied to hantavirus. Each time, the coordination between public health authorities and aviation operators gets smoother. One more thing worth noting. The crew operating this flight will likely be subject to monitoring after the mission. They may be asked to self-quarantine or check in with medical personnel for a period following the flight. These are not easy missions to volunteer for, and the pilots and flight attendants who take them on deserve recognition for what they're doing. It's a reminder that flying isn't always about moving people from point A to point B for business or pleasure. Sometimes it's about bringing people home safely when things go wrong. I'll be watching for the arrival details and any airspace impacts as this develops. Sources for today's segment include Simple Flying and CDC Public Health Advisories, more at RadioHangar.com. I'm Tower, stay informed and fly safe.